If you have your Bibles, if you would take and turn back with us this morning to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. We begin our message. I will say I'm certainly aware of the time and the extra preliminaries this morning, and I want to be mindful of your time as well. So as we get started into the preaching, I would just make one other note that I failed to mention with regard to announcements. Be praying for our seniors as they'll be taking their senior trip, leaving out this coming weekend, and I'll be headed out to California, and I pray for them for a safety of travel. Also pray for a good, enjoyable trip as well. Exodus chapter number 2, if you looked in the bulletin, you would find the title of the message this morning is The Picture of a Godly Mother. The Picture of a Godly Mother. And in our few moments together, I want to lay out just a couple of things that I think demonstrates and paints this portrait of a godly mother, and then ask us as we examine our hearts this morning if we would compare ourselves to this picture. Certainly it is not hard preaching at all. This is certainly a message of encouragement meant for mothers and for those that the Lord has called to and placed in that role and responsibility. It is one that I imagine all of you understand the sincerity and the severity of that role of influencing young children and taking their minds, as impressionable as they are, and being able to impact them and to influence them and to train them in the way that they should go. And what a great responsibility that is. It really is kind of mind-boggling that we would only set aside one day a year to recognize the work of mothers officially, but I'm so thankful that we do have a day that we can set aside and just give honor to whom honor is due. I trust that if you are able to worship with your mother this morning, that you recognize the benefit and the great treasure that that is. Abraham Lincoln said, and I think it's very, very true, he said, "There is no man who is poor that has a godly mother." There is no man who is poor that has a godly mother. And so this morning, I think we find this lady by the name of Jochebed in Exodus chapter number 2, who demonstrates some characteristics of a godly mother. And I want us this morning to take and look at those aspects and then just give to all of us a challenge together this morning. Let's pray as we get started, and then we will jump right into our message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us to be in your house, or thank you for the privilege to be able to take and open your word and to preach from it. Lord, I pray that in the next few moments that you would stir our hearts. Lord, help us that we would see the value. Help us that you would, or that we would see the importance of the role of motherhood, and also that we would see the importance of recognizing and holding in proper esteem those that you have placed in that position. Have your will and way in everything that we do, and we'll do our very best to give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1 of Exodus chapter number 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When we think of this particular mother that's demonstrated in Exodus chapter number 2, we find our introduction to a woman that has certainly godly character and a godly courage, and she makes the decisions and the steps that are necessary to demonstrate her willingness to and recognition of her child's gift and heritage of the Lord. And so she makes the steps and takes those steps to place him back in the hands of the Lord. And I want us to notice a couple of things very quickly as we point out this picture of a godly mother. Number one, I think we find in verse number 1 what I would call this mother's credentials. This mother's credentials in that there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. This particular lady is an Israelite who is one of God's chosen people, and she was a member of the tribe of Levi from which would come all of the, which would come the priest and those that would carry out the duties of the tabernacle of the temple. Now, when we think of that, you might think that that is not the most important attribute as far as your heritage, is not the most important attribute to being a mother. And you would be exactly right. I do not stand and say that where you were born or your nationality or your religion is what makes you most suited for being a mother. But I will say this, that this lady had, apparently her and her husband, had a devotion to their God and a devotion to their religion, that they were willing to put their God and the relationship with Him above all else. And might I say to you that the greatest credential of this lady's motherhood was her relationship with God. And could I suggest to you this morning that the greatest credential that would help you in becoming a godly mother and becoming the mother that God would have us to, or have you to be, the greatest credential that would put you in that boat is your relationship with God. Now, you would suggest this morning, and you would be right, there are good moms who are not Christians. You work alongside them. You probably live alongside some of them. Or you have ran into them at the ballparks in different areas. And you would say, well, Brother Matt, you got to understand, there is this there's this lady that lives in my community. She is a great mom. I don't believe she's saved. She doesn't profess to be a Christian. And I don't ever see them attending church on Sunday. But, boy, she's a great mom. Could I just say to you for just a moment, there is a difference in being a good mom and a godly mom. And what Scripture would teach us to be, and what Scripture would call us to be, and what Scripture would encourage you to be, is to be a godly mom that influences your children by your relationship with God. To be a mom that possesses and has a relationship with God that is so intimate, that it is so personal, that is so consuming, that it rubs off on your children whether they want it to or not. Being a godly mother requires one credential, and that is having a relationship with God Himself. But we don't just see her credentials. I want to move quickly through these points, but I think that we see in understanding the context of the setting is that there is a decree that all of the male children should be killed, and that there is not to be any of them that are spared. And so Moses being born, this little baby being born a male child, he was marked for death, and he was one that was supposed to die. They were supposed to have him killed at the king's decree. But this mother had something inside of her that saw bigger than even the king saw. This mother had something inside of her that motivated her and caused her to do something that would not be popular by the government standards and by the world standard of the day. Verse number 2 tells us, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. I told you we saw a credential, and that is her relationship with God. But I think number 2, in this picture of a godly mother, what do we see? Number 2, we see courage. We see courage. And her courage is something that is not to be scoffed at. It's not to be glanced over. It is something that we should understand. When you consider the decree of a king named Pharaoh, who was adamant that male children would be put to death and that they would not be allowed to survive, when you think of that and this lady's courage that caused her to make a decision that she would care for the needs of her children and that she would care for the needs of her son and that she would do that was honorable to her family and that was honorable to her God more than to the king's decree, you say this lady has a backbone. Could I suggest to you this morning very quickly that when we think of this mother's courage, I say to you that we still need mothers who have the courage to go against the grain and teach and demonstrate to their children that it is okay to be different and that it is okay to live separated and that it is okay to run to the admonitions and run to the teachings of God and His Word. We still need mothers that have that courage and live that courage out in front of their children. Many of you here would say, that's the testimony of my mom. That's the testimony of my mom, that she was willing to do that was right and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And she was always teaching us that there is a greater good and there's a greater purpose than what the world would present around you. And this mother's courage is seen very, very vividly as she takes and makes the decision that she's going to hide a newborn baby. Imagine for a moment. Many of us, parents, moms and dads alike, have wished that crying of a newborn could be hidden in the wee hours of the morning. Many mothers have wished that their children's cries could be silenced just for a full night's sleep. But this mother, because of her courage to do that was right in the sight of God, more than in the sight of man, and more than was expected under the law, she wanted to please her God. And it would require a courage like no other. Could you imagine the penalty and the punishment for such blatant defiance to King Pharaoh's order? That if they were to have been found to have hid this child in blatant disobedience and disregard for the law of the day, could you imagine the ridicule and the repercussions that would have came? But this godly mother, demonstrating her courage to do right, does what is pleasing to the Lord more than what is pleasing to the law. We see this lady's courage. Number one, if you think of the credential, number one, when you think of the picture of a godly mother, we see first the credential. She has a relationship with the Lord. Number two, we see her courage. She's willing to stand in the face of adversity. She's willing to take a stand for right, no matter how dark the circumstances would have seemed around her. But she was willing to do that in courage. She was willing to demonstrate that. But then verse number 3, look with me if you would. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. When you think of the characteristics of this godly mother, we saw her credentials, we see her courage, but then number 3, I think it's interesting that we find her confidence. Now, I use that word, and you might say that could be tied in with courage, but I think that there is certainly a difference that I want to point out here. This confidence that I'm talking about, I'm referring to faith. Simply put, Jochebed was a mother and was a woman who was motivated by a strong faith in the will of a sovereign God. Did you hear what I said? I said that this mother was one who was motivated by a strong faith in the will of a sovereign God. She was willing to trust God when nothing else made sense. She was willing, and her confidence and her trust and her dependence was not in how she would provide for that child. Her confidence and her trust was not dependent on how the government could care for that child, but her confidence was solely in that she would trust her children to the will of a sovereign God. Could I say to you this morning, moms, we salute you, those that trust your children to the will of God. Now, you will probably never be called on in the extreme manners that Jochebed was called upon to take her child and place that baby, crying as it may have been, into a basket and set it down in the river and walk away with your hands completely off and trusting God totally. But spiritually speaking, you have to do that, don't you? Spiritually speaking, you can try to cradle them all you want, but sooner or later, they got to grow up. Sooner or later, you have to kind of let them go. This mother demonstrated a confidence, not in what she could do for her child, not in what her husband could do for her child, but this mother demonstrated a confidence in God's will for her children. What confidence? And it was not, I'm sorry, that confidence was not misplaced. It did not return void. Her confidence is seen in a couple of things. Three things. Number one, we see her confidence in that she is willing to resist the world. She is willing to resist the world and go against what everyone else expected. She's willing to demonstrate, or she demonstrates this confidence in that, just as I mentioned a moment ago, she's willing to release that child to the will of God. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. God, I don't know how you're going to bring this one back. But I'm releasing that child to the will, the sovereign will of a most holy God. And my confidence isn't in the child. My confidence isn't in me. My confidence is in you. Her confidence is seen in this. Verse number 9. Look with me if you would. Then Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, said as unto the baby's mother, or to Jochebed, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. What confidence is seen in the fact that this woman is willing to resist the world? What confidence is seen in the fact that this woman is willing to release this child solely to the will of God? And what confidence is seen that this woman, in turn, is willing to now take and raise this child just as God would have allowed her to do? She raises the child, brings him to the age, presents him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and you know, probably by Sunday school, you are probably familiar with the rest of the story. But think with me for just a moment at how history and Israel and Scripture is changed because of the confidence of this godly mother. And you think of how your family and our church and your community could be impacted because of godly mothers that sit on pews this morning who are willing to place their confidence in the trust of God and God alone. We see this, ladies. We see her courage. We see her confidence. We understand her credentials. But then we see number 4, verse number 9 and verse number 10. We've already read there. Verse number 9 and verse number 10, we see her charity. We see her charity. Verse number 2 and verse number 3 makes very clear that this lady is taking a risk on her own self. She is taking a risk of her own safety. She's taking a risk of her own material supply. She is taking a risk of inviting and begging judgment to come upon her from the law's standard. But she is moved with a heart of compassion and charity. She is moved with love that only a mother and a child could understand. She is moved with a genuine charity in her heart that she must do that is right by her children. Verse number 9 and verse number 10 again points the fact that she is living in perilous times and in difficult days and under circumstances that no one would have wanted or suggested. But she's willing because she loves this child. I can think back of my mom and the opportunity that my mom had to demonstrate to us as boys her love. My mom cared absolutely nothing about football, baseball, basketball, or wrestling, as we call it in Alabama. Nothing. But I can't think of a time that we had anything going on that my mom was not in those stands cheering for us like she was actually playing a game. Again, to this day, she doesn't care about football or basketball or baseball or any of those things. But she loved her kids. And so what did she do? Through charity, she gave of herself. She gave of herself. She wasn't living vicariously through us in that she was expecting us to excel and bragging on us or expecting us to win trophies or even expecting us to get playing time. No, no, no. She just wanted to give of herself that we could be there. She just wanted us to see that what was important to us was important to her. Giving of herself. I imagine that as Moses thought back of his childhood and of his birth especially, and I imagine that as Moses understood and reflected on how his life came to be, I don't imagine there was ever a day that Moses couldn't have thought of his mother and a smile come to his face, recognizing the unselfish charity, the unending love that his mother bestowed upon him. This morning, could I say to you that if we're going to demonstrate to a world what a godly mother looks like or what godly motherhood looks like, it must be one that is willing to demonstrate to our children how much we love them. Now, certainly, we could go Father's Day here too. There's so many examples that we could do. But moms, this morning, we get the opportunity to worship together, and we get the opportunity to interact with your families from time to time. And can I just say to you, thank you for that demonstration of charity. Thank you for showing your children that above all else, you love them. We are raising a generation of people that do not know what it is to be loved by a godly mother. And I can't think of how hard that would be to lay your head on your pillow at night. There are those that probably sit in our congregation that your childhood isn't the one that I've just depicted. And I certainly don't mean to bring up any hard feelings for you at all. But this morning, in preaching to each of you, might we resolve that we want to show to our children, to our neighbors, to our homes, to our church, godly mothers. That's what we desire. We see her credentials. She has a relationship with God. We see her courage. She's willing to go against the grain. We see her confidence. She's willing to resist the world, release the child, raise the child. We see her charity. She's willing to give of herself. But her charity doesn't stop there. She's willing to give her son. She was willing to give her son. She doesn't understand. She doesn't have the benefit of the completed scripture that she's going to understand all that God's going to do through her son. She doesn't understand that. But she's willing to just take her hands off and trust God with her son. Her love for her country, her love for her God is seen in her charity. Her love is seen in that she gives of herself. Very literally, she gives her son. She takes and raises him to give him back to the Lord so that he might be used in a way that would be pleasing to God. Again, she doesn't understand all that God's going to bring about in his life, and she doesn't understand all of how God's going to make this come to pass, but she's willing to trust and give of herself and give of her son that God's will might be accomplished. What a godly mother. Lastly, we see her charity, but the benefit of Scripture and how this story ends up, we see her compensation. We see the pay for her work. We see the payday, the end of the road. Now, we don't find it in just these verses that we've read together this morning, but what do we find? What is her compensation? What is the reward for her work? What is the reward for this courage? What is the reward of the payday for this demonstration of confidence? What is this reward? She watches and witnesses her son become a great man of God. In fact, he was the one that God would choose to deliver his people from Israel. That God would use to deliver his people. I'm sorry, that God would use to deliver Israel, his people. She watches her son as God moves in his life and as God uses him to accomplish something that she never could have fathomed, never could have dreamed. She never could have bought this kind of education. She never could have handed it down on a silver platter. But God rewarded her faithfulness. God rewarded her courage and her confidence with allowing others' lives to be changed because of her son. Moms and dads, your children may never aspire to the office of the President of the United States. They may never be a senator or anyone else that has notoriety by this world's standards. But might I say to you this? If your children are used by God to influence others and draw them to Him, that is a payday the likes of which you could never take to this world's banks and cash in. If God would use your children in the influence of others. If God would allow your little boys and your little girls to be used to proclaim and further the gospel, what a godly reward. What compensation could this earth provide that would compare with that? The answer is none. Now, I don't believe that Jochebed gets to see and understand in the fullness or in totality the way that all of the ways that God had used Moses. I don't think that she got to see every bit of Moses' influence in the lives of others. But I do think that she understood that God had prepared Moses for something greater than she could have prepared him for. And I do think that she understood that God was using Moses in a way that was bigger than she ever began to imagine. But imagine for a moment. Now, God's God, and He can do whatever He wants. But imagine for a moment if this godly mother, on any given day, decided that she would do what was easy instead of what was right. Imagine for just a moment the impact that history would have had, or that would have been had on history, if this godly mother on just one day decided she'd let her courage leave it aside. And her confidence would wane on that day, and she would just do what the law said was right and just go with the flow. Imagine how different things could have been. But because of godly courage and because of a godly confidence and because of a charity that wanted to love her children and loved others, she was compensated or rewarded with her child's testimony being used to impact and influence others. What a godly mother. You don't have to have the biggest pulpit or platform to be a godly mother. You know what you need? Number one, that credential, a relationship with God. Number two, that courage. Courage. Number three, your confidence, not in you, not in your husband, but in God. Charity, a genuine love, not selfishness, not convenience-driven, but genuine love. Who is Jochebed? She's Moses' mother. Who is she? She's a picture of a godly mother. Not because her name is noted in history and everyone preaches lots of messages on her. That's not it at all. What makes her that picture was her courage, her confidence, her charity and that one credential that she had a relationship of faithfulness to her God. And God used her to influence her son in a way that would literally change history. Moms, you don't have to have the most money to be influential. You don't have to have the best resume. It starts with a relationship with God. It starts with being willing to trust Him when everyone else says, "What are you doing?" And it starts with having a confidence that I'm going to trust my children to the will of a sovereign God above all else. That's godly motherhood. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes?